Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Pastor Larry Henderson, as I said, is he's no stranger to this church. He's kind of a beloved son of this house. Pastor T.C. Hardy, on the way in, mentioned that he was one of the first supporters of Larry and Melinda and their ministry. And I'm so proud that we've had the opportunity to partner all these years, even far predating us being here. But I'm so grateful to call you a friend. I want to let you know that there are prayer cards available on your way out that I encourage you to pick up. And of course, if you have a desire to personally support them, you can do that as well. And there's information about that. But they serve churches, not just the many of you know about Vienna Christian Center there in Austria. You know of their 13 different language groups. Imagine, it's one thing to have 13 campuses, right, where everybody speaks the same language. It's another thing when you have 13 different language groups, different churches of internationals. They're literally reaching the world from where they're at, but they also oversee networks of churches. And I believe there was like in this next conference that we're going to be at, it's like representing 86 different churches in Europe that my father and I are going to be speaking at in a conference there in Vienna in October. But I am just so proud and thankful that we get to partner together with this great man of God. Would you take a moment, stand to your feet, and give it up for a son of this house, Pastor Larry Henderson. Come on, give it up for him. Love you, my friend.
Come on, while you're standing, will you give it up for your pastors, Pastor Mark, Pastor Michelle today? Don't you love them? Now, come on, everybody, let's just give it up for Jesus one more time. Say, Lord, we do. We love you so much. We're thankful to be in your house today, to be your people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated today. It is a joy to always be here at Dothan First. And I love being here. Over the years, we've, as Pastor Mark mentioned, this church has supported us from the very beginning. And we're very thankful for your former pastors, the Kellys who served us, Pastor T.C., who's also been so influential in our life. But to now be a part of this season and to see all the great things that God continues to do in this church. I hope you're happy here, everybody. I'm telling you, it's a great church. It's a great place to be connected, to be a part of a community, a part of the body of Christ. I saw those life group opportunities we were walking in. I wanted to stop and sign up for one. I hope you will as you leave today. And just engage in everything God's doing in this local church, because it's just a wonderful opportunity. Pastor Wayne and Miss Kathy, it's so great to see you as well. Last time we were here, you were the interim pastors and were so kind to us as well. And it's just great to be back at Dothan First. I want to speak to you today for a few moments on what really matters. What really matters. And so I want to begin by showing you what I think really matters, and that is our grandson Atlas, everybody. Come on, can you just give it up for my grandson Atlas today, who I miss very much? You know, everybody told me how great it would be being a grandparent, and you keep hearing those things, and you're thinking, that's just overrated. It has to be. How many of you know it is not overrated? It is everything. It matters. It's everything it's supposed to be. I have a good friend who he told me recently, he says, when our grandson was born, I had to apologize to my son. And my son said, well, why? What's wrong, Dad? Why are you apologizing? He said, I feel things for my grandson that I never felt for you. And I think that's just a great way to describe it. So, no, it's important. Also, I want to show you a picture of my family. Jake, our son, is here. We're honored. But our oldest son, Austin's married to Say Heinisch. And she's, again, very international. And you see our grandson, our daughter, Olivia, and Melinda, who so wanted to be here today, sends her greetings to you guys. But we're so thankful for that. I want to show you a quick video of Vienna Christian Center, a prayer meeting that we just had just a couple weeks ago. For those of you who just can understand the context of what we minister in, the same city.
Won't prosper.
you see this video just because we talk a lot about reaching nations and the impact, but we constantly have to ask ourselves this very simple question in our city: what really matters? We live in a very secular continent of Europe where people say, we don't need God. We don't need the church. In fact, every time I come back to the States, I see more and more this same reality that's taking place here. There's so many things that people are competing with on Sunday, and travel ball and schedules, that responsibilities that just seem to overwhelm us at times. And yet, church and God just kind of becomes one of the things on our list instead of really being the center of our lives. So today I want to share this message with you because I really feel like it's a question that we continually answer, and I want to encourage you to continually answer it as well. You know, there's things I've learned. I'm joking about being a grandparent, but there's things that used to be important to me, and the older I get, they're not really that important anymore. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then there's things that probably used to be something that was small in my life and things I took for granted that honestly, it carries a lot more weight now. It carries a lot more weight. I want to share these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 and verse 20. This is a verse that's really impacted my life in the last year, where Paul writes and he says, what is our hope, our joy? What is the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Is it not you? And then he answers his own question and he says, yes, indeed, you are our glory and our joy. I want to focus on two things from these verses this morning. First of all, that Jesus really is coming back, everybody. Thank you for those amens. And secondly, what will happen when he comes back? How many of you believe he's coming back? Come on, do you really believe that? How many of you want to go to heaven? Come on, wave your hand. You want to go to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven today? Are you ready to go to heaven? Not as many hands are ready to go today, but you still want to go. That's great. You know, I grew up in a small church in Mobile, Alabama. And that church, we never, thank God for Pastor Michael and the youth ministry, we never had that. We never had a lot of ministries like you have here at Dothan First and opportunities. But thank God for Royal Rangers and for Sunday school. It changed our lives. And I remember it was me and my cousin and my brother. That was our youth group. And if any girls ever came to the church, we would always fight over sitting next to them. You know, it was a very interesting environment to grow up. But I can tell you, we learned the Word of God. And we learned what it meant to believe not only in this life, but in the next life. That heaven really matters and that one day Jesus really is coming back. I think as a kid, I gave my heart to Jesus 100 times, you know, because every time there was an altar call about the rapture and Jesus coming back, you could feel that conviction, that urgency that he really is coming back. We used to sing a lot of songs about heaven. In fact, we would sing songs from a hymn book, and I knew what number they were, what page those songs were on, because we knew that Jesus, it was important, not just what happened now, but what happens later. That the life that we live, this moment affects that moment. And today, I just pray that in some way we can remember that urgency that Jesus really is coming back, everybody. It's more than a song. It's more than a story that your grandparents used to tell you about. It's a reality that one day this life will be over. And everything that we know won't really matter anymore. And on that day when we do stand before him, there's only one thing that matters. There's only one thing that really counts in that day. I remember having a plaque that was in our home that simply said, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How many of you have seen that? Or you've had something like that in your home to remind you? My dad, every day, we could never leave the house without him praying over us. And as we were there, he still does it to this day. As Jake and I left yesterday to drive to Dothan, he says, wait a minute, we need to pray before we leave. And we gathered in a circle and he laid hands on us. And he always ended those prayers with these words. And Father, help us to be mindful of the needs of others. Because he was always trying to teach us that it wasn't just about our life, but it was about the lives that we could touch for eternity. The people that we could reach for Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 14, he said, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. You know these verses. In my Father's house, there's many mansions, many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Friends, Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And he says, if I go, I will come back. I'm so thankful he's not going to send an angel. I'm so thankful that maybe one of the great men or women of the Bible, they're wonderful. But I'm thankful that Jesus himself promised he would come back for us. And he would take us to be with him. In Acts chapter 1, we read the story as Jesus is there and he's ascending to heaven. And he gives the great commission to the disciples. But as he ascends in that moment into heaven, there's an angel that appears and says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into the sky? This same Jesus. Which Jesus? Well, the Jesus who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who did miracles, who died for us, who rose again, who you now see us in. This same Jesus will come back in the same way that you've seen him go. Friends, I want you to know that's still our blessed hope today. There's people who are not quite sure if that's really true or if that's just some old doctrine of the church. It's more than a doctrine. It will be a reality one day. It may happen today. It may happen tomorrow. But one day, the same Jesus we worship today, the same Jesus who's forgiven you of your sins, he will come back. How many of you believe that? So I want to ask you a very simple question. If we believe Jesus is coming back, then why hasn't he returned yet? Why has it returned yet? It's really a good question. In fact, we're not the first ones to ask that question. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we see people who were asking this question many, many years ago. They said in the last days, scoffers will come. Peter says they're following their, it's written in Peter, they will follow their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming that he promised? You know, as a pastor, I've heard people ask me that question many times. You guys believe in Jesus? You go to church every Sunday? You believe he's coming back? You believe there's a heaven? You believe there's a hell? You believe there's an eternity? Well, if all that's true, then why has it not happened yet? Where is the coming that he promised? They said, even since the beginning, our ancestors have died. Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You know, it's really a pretty good question. But we find the answer in verse number 8. Where he says, don't forget, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with us? He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. Every time I read those words, friends, it still moves me today. Because sometimes we get so comfortable with the fact that this is my life and this is my schedule and this is what I'll do today, this is what I'll do tomorrow. And we forget that God is never comfortable with the fact that people are lost and that people in your family need Jesus and people in the city need Jesus. And honestly, today, the simple reason that Jesus has not returned yet is because there are people in your family who would be lost if he did come back. And there would be people in the city of Dothan and people in the Dale and Henry and Houston counties. People in your city and in my city that if Jesus came back today, they would be lost for eternity. They would not be ready for heaven. And you know, honestly, I have this tension in me. As a believer, I kind of feel like John, where he said, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. I mean, I'm ready for heaven. Not all of you were ready for heaven today when you raised your hands. And honestly, the reason we want to go to heaven but we don't want to go to heaven today is we've become too comfortable here on earth. I mean, we have a good life. Pastor Mark said it earlier. We have water to drink and we have a home and we have a job and the economy's good. But many people, friends, who are not in the same situation we are, they would take heaven today. And I pray that we would never allow the things of this earth to steal that place, that appointment, that destination, that hope that heaven is real. And that is where we want to be. And yet, I want to go, and as much as I want to go, there's this tension the other side of me as a missionary that just prays pretty much every day, Father, would you just give us one more day? Would you just give us a little bit more time? Lord, there's still so many people in my city. And Lord, they're close. They're taking steps, but they're not there yet. And Lord, please give us a little more opportunity to share faith. Friends, I want you to know every person matters to God. And they should matter to the church. They should matter to us. I want to show you this picture of a guy in our church named James. When I first met James, he's the oldest of four children. And James really had this hunger for God. You know, you see these young people that just, God's doing something in their life. And James was one of those young people. You could just sense it. And yet, as I learned more about him, he began to tell me about his father and his home that he lived in. His dad is from Poland. His mom is from South Africa. James came to church, but many times he would worship and smile, but many times he was hiding the pain and the dysfunctional home that he was living in. His dad was a very abusive man. There were times even where he became physically abusive, and James and others, his mom would call the police. They would have to call other people in our church that would come over and took the children, and they would live in other members' homes for periods of time. His dad, he never gave up on his dad, even though his dad continued to just be a man who was just very self-centered, and all he thought about was his own life and his own self. Many times, James would come to the altar, just like we've had prayer opportunities today. He would come and say, pray for my dad, pray for my dad. We continued to pray for his dad. I remember when his dad started coming to church because, you know, things were bad and he thought maybe something would be better. And yet, he was a hard man. He had been through so much. His name was Vislav, and Vislav just continued to just kind of have a cynical attitude about church and about God and about his son's faith. About a year ago, his dad was diagnosed with cancer. How many of you know sickness can change your life? And it began to humble this prideful man to a place that I just couldn't believe. I never thought it would happen. He became so humble and so open and to a place of surrender. 8 days ago, I was asked by James and his mom, would you come to the hospital and would you pray with my dad? 8 days ago, I was there and I watched this man who used to be such a big man, an athlete. Now he's lost weight. He's been through all the treatments. The doctors have said there's nothing he could do. There's fluid in his lungs and they're saying he doesn't have much time. And as I sat there listening to him in the bed, and I said, Vislav, I said, have you made things right with God? And he looked at me and he said, Larry, I want you to know, I made things right with God and I made things right with my family. And I've asked him to forgive me. The only regret I have is that I've waited so late. And he looked at me and he said these words. He said, you know, I don't have long. And when I'm dead, here in Austria, they take you to the funeral home at the cemetery. And he says, the priest comes out and he says, will you be there on that day? I said, not only will I be there, but we don't have to wait on the priest. We can do the service for you. And tears began to come down his eyes. He said, would you really do a service for me? I said, you better believe we would. And I said, what do you want me to tell people on that day? And he looked at me again, crying, and he said, please tell everybody to focus on what matters, not to waste their life and not to wait to the end and to live and have the mistakes and the regrets that I have. He said, I look at my children, I look at my wife, and I see how much I've thrown away and how much time is wasted. Tell people life is serious. Tell them what really matters. 5 days ago, he left this world and he went home to be with Jesus. 5 days ago, this man who was so hard, who really wasted so many years of his life, he finally made peace with God and he made peace with his family. Aren't you thankful to know no matter how far away we are from God, he's still patient with us. And Jesus has not come back yet because he still doesn't want anyone to perish. No one in your family, no one in my family, but that everyone, even if they wait to the very end, everyone can make peace with God. James came up to me just a few days ago and he said, Larry, thank you so much for praying for my dad. He said, I want you to know, I'm not only made peace with my dad, but through this process, God has called me into ministry. I feel called to be a missionary to Latin America. And in 5 days from now, he will be leaving to go to Nicaragua for his first short-term missions trip. Can you say praise the Lord? Friends, God can redeem things. It doesn't matter how far someone is, how far you feel you are. Even as we look around America, we say, well, is there any hope for America? I want you to know there is. Don't give up on your city. Don't give up on your nation. Because God still wants them to come to repentance. It's what really matters. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says three times in the last chapter of the Bible, behold, I am coming soon. And the last time he says, behold, I'm coming soon, my reward is with me. So I think we've established the fact very clearly today, Jesus is coming, and we believe that, we know that. So the second question we have to ask is, what happens when he comes? What really happens when Jesus says, I come and my reward is with me? What reward? Well, the Bible speaks about two judgments. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's a judgment when people who don't know God will stand before him and will give an account of their life. I'm so thankful, though, that today we have the opportunity to be forgiven. And when we get to heaven, there's not going to be some big screen that shows this is what Pastor Mark has done wrong all of his life. Look at all the sins he's committed. I know it's only like two or three, but, you know, I mean, some of us, we would have a big list, right? But I'm so thankful that when we stand before God on that day that we won't be judged for our sins. Many people will. But if you've been forgiven, if Jesus lives in your heart today, we will be judged, but not for our sins. But there's another judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where 1 Corinthians chapter 3 gives us a picture of that and speaks about how everything in our life will pass through a fire. And after it passes through the fire, only what is eternal will remain. Only what's eternal will remain. So I want to ask you again, this is the heart of the message today, what will remain? What really matters when everything you've done, the motives of your heart, your physical possessions, the secret things of your life that no one saw, that no one knew about, when everything passes through the fire today, I want to ask you, what will remain? What really matters on that day? Well, Paul asks the question, and he says, what really counts? He says, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is the crown that we will receive when Jesus comes? And then he answers the question. He says, it's you. It's you. It's you Thessalonians that we've led to Jesus. It's your lives that have been changed. It's you. That is our hope. You are our joy. You are our crown. Paul's saying the only thing that really matters is people. What really matters is our relationships. What really matters is eternity. It's heaven. Friends, I want you to know there's a lot of things we love to do in life. Come on, how many of you love life? Yeah, I hope you do. I mean, Pastor Mark, I was in his office earlier, and I'm a little jealous. I saw a plaque where he got to play at St. Andrews in Scotland. I started saying England, in Scotland, and not only did he do that, but he had a pretty good score on there, everybody, you know. And I mean, how many of you, there's things we love to do. We love to play golf. But on that day, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you, what was the lowest score you ever shot? You know, man, he's not going to ask you, what was the biggest bass you ever caught or that biggest buck you ever killed? Women, I'm sorry, but he's not going to ask you how many pairs of shoes you had in your closet. It's just not going to be a question that's going to be asked on that day. But I can tell you on that day, what will matter is the lives that you and I have touched for eternity. Whether it be in Nepal, whether it be in Vienna, or whether it be right here in Dothan. I want to share three testimonies with you before we close. First is a young lady we're going to call Samira. Samira is from Iran. I'll never forget when I first met her. She came to our youth service on a Friday night. She had a student visa. She came to Vienna to study, and she was there on a Friday night. She was 18, but came to the youth ministry. And after service, she was in the cafe area crying. She's sitting at a table just crying. Well, the youth pastor saw her and walks up to her, and he asks her, he says, is everything okay? You know, what is something wrong? And she says, that story you told tonight about Jesus, I'm quoting exactly what happened to everybody. She said, that story you told tonight about Jesus. She said, that's the most beautiful story I've ever heard. Why?
has someone not told me about that story before now? And that night, she gave her heart to Jesus. This young lady continued to come. She moved from youth ministry into university ministry. We found out that her residency permit was expired and her visa, student visa, was over, and she was going to be deported. And she came to us saying, "Please pray for me, because I've already told my parents back in Iran that I'm a Christian. And my dad said to me, 'You're not my daughter anymore. Don't come home. If you do, I'm going to kill you.'" Now, can you imagine, parents? Can you imagine your father telling you, "You're not my son anymore. You're not my daughter anymore. And if you come back, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make sure that you're dead." She was afraid for her life at this point. And even though she loved her father and loved her mother, she continued to pray for them and ask us to pray for them. And she said, "But I can't go back." And literally, she was at a place where they were going to deport her. And we helped to find lawyers to be able to give her legal advice, to have an appeal and do anything, because they didn't believe her that she had made a conversion. They thought she was just trying to make an excuse so that she didn't have to go back after her visa ran out. And yet, week after week, we continue to pray. We continue to pray for her mom and for her dad. And finally, she received a positive notice that she could stay. She led her mother to Jesus on the phone, and now her mother has moved as well. Her dad still doesn't know the Lord, but this young lady, Samita, I can tell you, not only was she a testimony for Jesus, but now she has led many of her friends to the Lord, and she serves on our worship team every week. And when I sit there and I watch her and I watch the other members and I know their testimonies, I just can't help during worship but to say, "Lord, that matters. That matters. Friends, it matters." One moment, one Friday night, one young person who invited her to come had no idea. They just thought it would be good if you come to church with me. No, it was more than good. It changed her life forever. It matters. I want to show you a picture of a man in our church from Afghanistan. His name is Fossil. I've asked Fossil if I could tell his story, and he said, "Please." Fossil was in a car accident a few years ago in Austria. He came as a refugee, and he's in this car accident. And before he was in the accident, he spoke three languages. He spoke Farsi, which is his mother tongue. He spoke German, and he spoke English. He's married to a woman who is not a believer. She's still a Muslim. But after the accident, he had a brain bleed, and so he came out of the coma. He could only speak English. He couldn't speak the other two languages. The problem was his wife could only speak Farsi. So the church, we had to continue to meet with them and help have an interpreter to even help them in their home interpreting everything. And so many times, Fossil, he was doing better physically, but as he came to church, he would come forward. And I would always think he's praying for his physical health. Well, God not only did heal him, and his languages came back, and now he's doing very well. But every single Sunday, in a service just like this, he will always come forward and say, "Will you pray for my wife that she would come to Jesus?" He it's not enough that he knows the Lord. He still wants to see his wife come to the Lord. They have two daughters. They came to me recently, and I thought they wanted marriage counseling. But when he came to me, he says, "Larry," he says, "my wife's father is dying in Iran. She's from Iran. He's from Afghanistan." But he said, her father's dying, and we've got to go back and see him." Well, I immediately said, well, Fossil, you know you can't go back to Iran. If you go back, her brothers, her family will kill you." He said, no, Larry, you don't understand. I have to go back." I said, "Fossil, please listen to me as your pastor. Let's pray. Let's try to, you know, find others who can meet her family, pray for them, go visit them. But you can't go back, because if you do, you're going to die." He said, "Larry, you don't understand. I have to go back." And he pulled out this envelope out of his Bible, one of our offering envelopes. And to the best of his ability, he said, "I have to do this." And he pointed to the word missions. And he said these words. He said, "Larry, we're all going to die somewhere. What difference does it matter if I die here in Vienna, if I die in Iran, if I die in Afghanistan? Her dad is about to die. And if I don't tell him, he will be lost forever without Jesus. I have to go. I have to do this." Friends, that kind of sums it up this morning. We all have to do this. No matter where you're from, no matter what's going on, I want to remind you today that just as Fossil had this passion, this conviction that I have to tell my family about Jesus before he dies, because the moment's coming where he will go to hell or he will go to heaven, and I've got to make the difference because that's what really matters. By the way, he made the trip. They were able to smuggle him into Afghanistan. He was able to go and come back safely and pray and lead her to Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to close with one final story, and then Pastor Mark's going to come. We've been asked to take on a new responsibility in Northern Europe, which oversees 10 countries across England and the UK and Scandinavia, Iceland. And recently, we've been working with one of our pastors there, a local Irish pastor in Ireland, who has had this conviction to plant a church in the city of Tuam. I asked him, why Tuam? And he said, because Tuam, there's a story of things that have happened in Tuam that in the 1925 to the early 1960s, there was a lot of unwed mothers. They were put into these institutions and homes. And one particular home, it was run by the state, run by the Catholic Church, but 23,000 mothers who were unwed came there to give birth to their children. Because of the stigma of the society and the things that happened, they took the children away from their mothers when they were born. Many of them were put out in foster homes, but secretly many of them died because they were not taken care of, and no one knew about it. The mothers were sent away and not allowed to have their children with them. And in this moment, this pastor told me, he says that recently, in the last few years, they have discovered a mass grave there with over 800 children who died. Their bodies have been there. And he said, one of the reasons that we want to go to this city of Tuam is because people have lost confidence in the church. They've lost confidence in God. And none of them really even understand. They don't really know how much they desperately need Jesus. And so we're going there so that we can plant this church. Today, I don't have time to show you a video, but I'm going to leave it. Maybe in future, Pastor Mark will show it to you at some point. But I want you to know that, friends, 2 weeks from today, that church plant will launch in the city of Tuam. Why? Not because it's a strategic location to reach a certain demographic of people, but because there's no Pentecostal witness in that city. There's no evangelical witness in that city. And people who have lost their hope in God, lost their hope and faith in the church, every single one of them today, they still matter. I want you to know, as we close today, as we begin to pray right now in this city, every time I come back to the States, I have culture shock, and my heart is just broken because I see people who have lost hope in the church. They've lost hope in Christians. They've lost hope in faith. Their lives are full of so many things that they say, I don't need God. Can I tell you today, we need God more than we ever have. We need His love. We need His forgiveness. We need the hope of heaven more than we ever have. And I say all this to you today to remind you, friends, there are people in this world who they get so distracted that they forget about what really matters. And today I want to encourage you. These lives matter. People matter. Heaven matters, everybody. Eternity matters. What is our hope? What's our joy? What's the crown that we'll receive? I promise you, it's not going to be the things that people think it is. But on that day, when you stand before the Lord, we're going to have the same answer that Paul did. We're going to look at people that we've led to Jesus, and we're going to say, it's you. It's you. It's you. It really matters. Come on, would you stand with us today? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful today. So thankful today that you love us. Lord, you love us more than we deserve. Lord, you've done so much for us, more than we could ask. And yet today, Lord, our hearts are broken because we know that without you, we can't do anything. We know that without you, Lord, we're lost. So today I pray that every one of us, you would speak to us in this place, draw us near. Lord, from the moment we came today, the moment we begin to sing, to begin to pray, we have felt your presence. So now, Lord, I pray that it would be more than just a emotional experience. I pray that we would all of us, we would take steps towards you right now. In Jesus' name, would you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Pastor Mark's going to come, but I want to lead you in a prayer just to ask Jesus into your heart. Maybe you're here today and you're away from God. maybe you're like Wiesloff, and you know, you just had your own agenda, your own plan, and you've taken so many things for granted, your marriage for granted, your kids for granted. Maybe you just, you know, you're here today and you just know, I'm not in the place I used to be. And today you want to make things right with God. He's reaching out to you right now. He's reaching out to you in this place. And so I'm going to count to three, and I want to ask you if you need Jesus, you're ready to make a commitment to take a step towards God today. I want to ask you very simply, would you just raise your hand? I promise you, when you take a step towards God, He will take a step towards you. Your life can change today. Friends, you can be forgiven today. You can make peace with your family today. You can be assured that today, if your life ended, you would be ready for heaven. So if you need to take that step, you're ready to make a commitment, you're ready to just give your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I surrender to you today. I want to ask you, would you just raise your hand? 1, 2, 3. Come on. Nobody's looking around. Thank you. Just so I can pray with you. I can pray with you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You want to take a step towards Him today. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, can we just pray out loud together and support those who've raised their hands today? Can we do that? Just pray a simple prayer with me. Just say, Dear Father, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my mistakes and my failures. I turn away from my sin, and I take a step towards you. I know that, Lord, eternity matters. And so I want to make things right with you today. I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me. Teach me how to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you just remain standing? Pastor Mark, would you come? Would you lead us in prayer? Just a second prayer that all of us can just take a step towards God today to say, Lord, it does matter. Eternity matters. My family matters. Lord, church matters. Life groups matter. Come on, everybody. We're not a club today. We're the church.
Yeah.
And what we're doing here today matters. So I want to ask you, as Pastor Mark just leads us in that prayer, would you please take a step and say, Lord, for eternity, Lord, use me to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, today we want to be used of you. God, we were put on this earth for a reason, for a purpose, for a destiny. It wasn't just to go to work or find a career or find a mate. Lord, it was literally shaped by you. You said the book of our life was laid out. God, you put in us a destiny to win people to you, to make a difference in this world. And now, Lord, we call forth that amazing destiny. Lord, if we still have breath in our lungs and strength in our body, we still have a chance to make a difference in this world. It's not too late. No matter how much time has been wasted, there's still today. God, thank you for today. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would use us as the church to be your witnesses on this earth, to make a difference in this world. God, help us to fulfill your great commission that you've assigned us to as believers in Jesus Christ. Help us to make a difference so that when we one day stand before you, we can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated for just another moment as we prepare to close today. I'm going to invite our worship team. They're going to lead us in a song of worship before we go today. But I want to invite you to two things. The very first thing I want to do is let you know that we're going to be here to pray for you. Our elders, in just a moment, I'm going to invite our elders to stand across the front. Our elder couples are going to be standing across the front ready to pray for you. And our pastors will be ready. If there's a need that you have, or maybe today you made a commitment, a decision for Christ, I want to tell you that was the greatest decision you could ever make. And we want to help you in your journey of faith. As a matter of fact, we put on the screens, we try to put it on there all the time, but D1 Walk, right? You can text D1 Walk to 84576. And what that does is it allows us two things. First of all, we'll send you a text response back indicating a free download that we have of a booklet called One to One. It's a discipleship booklet. It'll help you in your journey of faith. The other thing it'll do is it will allow us as pastors to pray over you. How many know we all need a little extra prayer, but especially when we make decisions and commitments for Christ? So I encourage you to just text that word in all caps, D1 Walk to the number 84576. Or if you don't have a smartphone or if you prefer not to use that method, you have a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you take just a moment and fill that out, letting us know what God's doing in your life or letting us know you making a decision or a commitment, there's a place to check a box saying commitment to Christ, first-time decision, or recommitting your life to Christ, or you need to be baptized, whatever it might be. We're here to help you in your journey of faith. The next thing that I want to let you know is not only are we supporting you in prayer and want to help you in your journey of faith, but we want to invite you into that same partnership experience that we just talked about. Pastor Larry and the three different testimonies that he described is just a drop in the bucket of all of the church ministries that he oversees, that he and Melinda oversee every single week. And I want to pour into them and sow into their ministry. We know a few things about Europe. The very first and most significant probably is it's almost impossible to get a location, a facility, a building. And we want to help them in those campuses to help further the message of the kingdom of God. Our friends Henry and Karen Linderman, who have been now in France, Paris, for over 50 years, they consistently are kicked out of their buildings just for no reason, not because they don't have the money or the support or the personnel, but simply because a mayor has decided they don't want a church in that building anymore. They want to make money off that building. Seriously. Or just the fact that they're a Christian, they call themselves a Christian. I know we don't experience that kind of persecution here, but I'm telling you, it literally is all over the world. And so I want to partner with them in this moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite all of our ushers, if you'd make your way back, and we're going to take a moment as we close out our service to be able to partner with Larry and Melinda to see the work of the kingdom continue in Vienna and around the world. If you've made a commitment to partner in the missions 2020 and you have that little faith promise card, you can also turn that in at this time. But let's take a moment and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? And then you can use the giving envelopes in the seat pocket in front of you. I know many ask this question, can I give online? Yes, you can. You can just let us know in missions and that will help us. The other way, of course, others have asked, well, if I write out a check, what should I do? You can write a check to Dothan First and then just in the memo line, just write, you can write Larry and Melinda Henderson, or you can write Vienna, however you'd prefer, but we'll make sure that every dime of that gets to the mission that we're intending right now. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, I thank you for the great work that we get to partner with around the world. Lord, this isn't just a church in Dothan, but it is literally an international church representing churches and ministries and missions around the world. God, thank you for that partnership, and thank you for the generosity of this congregation. And now, Lord, I ask that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or even imagine. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. Ushers, thank you so much for serving us. I'm going to invite our elders, if you'd make your way and just stand across the front. If you need prayer at this time, we're inviting you to simply come and receive that prayer. If you made a commitment or a decision for Christ, we want to help you in that journey of faith and take just a moment to pray over you. And here's what we're going to do. I know that Pastor Larry is going to be available. He'll be in the sanctuary or out in the foyer. They have those prayer cards. Take them and pray over them. We believe in the prayer support of each and every one of our missionaries. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you experience the love of God, the freedom of God, as you do the work that he's called you to do. And I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with us at Dothan1ST.org or follow us on social media at Dothan1ST. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we would love to have you join us this Sunday at 10 a.m.